Matthew chapter 4. We're going to take a brief look at that for a moment, and then we're going to go back to Numbers 21. So Matthew chapter 4 and Numbers 21. A few weeks ago, when our first batch of young people came back from the wilds, I started a series of messages to try to encourage them to continue in what they had learned and been challenged with. And the message was entitled Discouragement. I want to continue that now because we are receiving more and more young folks coming back from camping ministries and camps, and they've been giving of themselves. They've been under the constant preaching of the Word of God, and now they have to come back off of the mountaintop and live where we have to live. And as much as we would like to remain up there with Peter, James, and John, we don't get to. We have to live in the everyday where we are. And that has inherent in its context discouragement. Discouragement, because it's just not the same. And if you notice Matthew chapter 4, and right up above verse 1, it says what? Chapter 4. Right? Right? Before verse 1, it says chapter 4. Erase the chapter 4 because it's not there. That is, the chapter was not there. It is a continuation of what took place in chapter 3. What happened in chapter 3? Well, you look back just a little bit, and this is the time when God the Father pronounces his blessing on his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is identifying with humanity, and he allows or commands John the Baptist to baptize him. And when Jesus comes out of the water, verse 16 of chapter 3, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and a voice from heaven saying this, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Then, some of you didn't erase that chapter 4, did you? Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tried and tested by the devil. The fact of the matter is this, folks, when we have had a spiritual blessing, we've had some great opportunity, some great watching of God do a work in our hearts and through us. After that, very often, there's going to be a time of testing. And that time of testing does not mean that God is not pleased with us. That time of testing simply means that we have to live where we live. We can't all live on the mountaintop. That's for later when we see the Lord face to face. Meanwhile, we have to live in this world, in our families, in our schools, at our jobs, and we have to do so in a manner that honors the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we've looked at that in Matthew. Let's go ahead to Numbers for just a moment. And I'm going to point out another verse that I used a few weeks ago. Here in the book of Numbers, you have God's people, Israel. They've recently come through the Red Sea. What an experience to go through the Red Sea on dry ground. Wow. Think about that. And being so afraid of the Egyptian army coming just behind them, and then seeing God protect them. And then watching Moses and the Red Sea open up, and then all of these hundreds of thousands of people, Jewish people, Hebrew people that had spent years and years and years in Egypt, and they walk through on dry ground. They get to the other side, and they turn back, and they see the Egyptian armies drowned in that very sea wherein they had their own safety. I mean, would you think that might be a mountaintop experience? I mean, that would be an experience like down in the South, they would say, throw your hat in the air and shout hallelujah. Thank God for his mercies to us. But shortly after that mountaintop experience, they go down because they have to live in the wilderness. and they have difficulties and struggles and trials, and they face discouragement. And so again, after a wonderful, wonderful experience of God's blessing and power and glory and all of that, they are brought down. And that doesn't mean that God is necessarily unpleased with them. It means that that's where we live, and God wants us to find His grace sufficient even in this world where we live now. And so they journey through the wilderness. They get thirsty, they get hungry, you know the story. And in chapter 21 and verse 4, they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged. The soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Because of the way. It was difficult. And I've been giving to you some characteristics of discouragement. And the first one is this: it's real. How many here have, and I want to see a show of hands, in the last week, how many of you have been discouraged about something? Ah, boy, bunch of down in the mouth people. Yes, discouragement is real. It's real because of, sometimes it happens, and I'm reviewing just a little bit here, because we have failed personally. We, in our walk with God, we have failed. And we get discouraged. You know, it was all good back there at the Wilds or at Kobiak or wherever I was. It was all good. And now I'm back here, and look, I've already made a mess. Well, what does the Bible say we should do as believers when we make a mess? Clean it up. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A just man falls seven times, he gets up again. We get discouraged because of our personal failure. We get discouraged sometimes because of what we feel are weaknesses in our spiritual leadership. Folks, listen. People are going to fail you. They are not going to meet up to all of your standards, what you think a spiritual leader must be. They're just not. And so the Lord wants us to do what? He wants us to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, lest we be wearied and faint in our minds, and lest we be discouraged. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord and not be just looking at the failures or the weaknesses of others. Sometimes we get discouraged because of tragedy and loss and trouble. Oh, yes, yes. Job said, my soul is weary of my life. I'm discouraged. I'm in despair. Sometimes we get discouraged just because of, and this is one that maybe some of you will remember. I talked about it, I think, for quite a while. Because of the routine. We get in the routine, just the routine. And in the case of the Israelites, they're traveling. They're traveling, and in Numbers chapter 11, it talks about they get manna all the time. God sends them manna 6 days a week, and they get discouraged after a while, and they say in Numbers 11, now our soul is dried away. There's nothing but this manna. That's all we get. The daily, the humdrum, the regular stuff. I mean, you know, nothing exciting is happening. And so we get down because of that. Listen, most of life, remember, is just being faithful in the day-to-day tasks, whether it's getting the dishes done, making your bed, going to school, going to the job, being faithful in your ministry and your family. It's everyday stuff. But that everyday stuff, if you're not walking with God the way you should, is going to discourage you. It just will. It just will. And John Newton, the man who wrote Amazing Grace, also wrote these words. He said, how tedious and tasteless the hours when Jesus no longer I see. I mean, life is just a bore, and it's dry, and it's dusty, and all this stuff. Just plain old manna every day, and listen, that when we get to that place, we know we need to get back to the Lord Jesus. Sometimes we just need to remember that the Christian life is a battle. We got the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so all of these things produce discouragement. So discouragement is very real. All right? That's number one. Number two, discouragement is progressive. And just reviewing again. progressive. Where does discouragement start? It starts in your mind. All right? In your mind. When you start thinking, oh boy, another day. Well, wait a minute. Where are you going to go with that thought? Where is that thought going to lead you? You have another day to do what? To live in the presence of God. You have another day to experience God's blessing and protection and love for you. You have another day to breathe and to live and to enjoy the things that God gave. Another day. Another day. Come on. Think about it for just a moment. What are you going to do with that first thought? You need to cast it down. Every thought, bringing every thought to the obedience of Christ. You need to prepare your mind for action. You need to gird up the loins of your mind. We talked about it. Very important. Discouragement is progressive. If you let that thought grow, it'll grow, and pretty soon all your ammo is gone as far as your Christian life is concerned. You don't have a fight at all. You go, oh, whatever. And that's what, you know, get a t-shirt that says whatever on it. You know, that's what some Christians do. Well, discouragement is progressive, and you need to, like we said, quoting the great theologian. Remember who that theologian was? I quoted him. Some of you remember Barney Fife, right? Nip it in the bud, all right? Stop when that first thought comes. Remember, no, that's review. Now we're going to move on to something else, and we'll move on some more this evening. But number three, discouragement is not only absolutely real and progressive, it is something else. Turn just to back a few chapters, chapter 13, Numbers. You're in Numbers chapter 13. I want you to see this. This is when the children of Israel are getting ready to go into the land of Canaan. They've had that great mountaintop experience. Oh, it's been wonderful. And so in verse 17 of Numbers chapter 13, Moses sent out some spies to the land of Canaan. And he said, get you up this way southward and go up to the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak or few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, what cities they be that they dwell in, whether the tents are in strongholds. And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, and whether there be wood therein or not. And what? And be ye of good courage. Don't let what you see discourage you. Be of good courage and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes, so they went up and searched the land, and it talks about it. And they returned, verse 25, they came back with their report, and after 40 days, they went and came to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation. Verse 27, they told him, they said, we came into the land where thou sentest, it is flowing with milk and honey. This is the fruit of them. And big piles of grapes and all kinds of things they brought back. Verse 28, Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled. Those folks aren't living in tents. They're living in castles. Exaggerating. They're very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. They're giants. Verse 30, Caleb steeled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and prosper and possess it. We are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him, we not be able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report. And you know what happened with that evil report? We're already in Numbers. Go ahead and take a look at Deuteronomy. Just a couple pages over. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Let's see what happened. Deuteronomy chapter 1. This is 40 years later, they're reviewing what took place. And in verse 26 of Deuteronomy chapter 1, Moses is reminding them, notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord, and you murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he's brought us forth out of the land of Egypt. Now, isn't that dumb? Think about that for a minute. God hates us. That's the reason that he opened up the Red Sea and we walked through on dry ground. And that's the reason he protected us from the Egyptian armies, because he hates us. Come on. Discouragement gets to the, when you allow it to get a hold of you, it gets to the place where it is absolutely unreasonable. It makes no sense.
But it does to me.
Yeah, it does to you. And that's why you got to gird up the loins of your mind and think straight. Ye murmured. And look at verse 28. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts. That's what I want to say to you this morning about discouragement. Number one, it's real. Number two, it's progressive. And number three, it's contagious. Discouragement is contagious. How do you act around someone? You meet them in the store. How you doing? Oh, I got the flu. What do you do? Oh, no, okay, good, fine. Hope you get better soon. God bless you. I'm on my way. You try to stay away from them. A lot of people have the spiritual flu, and it's contagious. They are carriers themselves of this nasty attitude of discouragement. Some of the carriers are discouraged themselves. Others, they just have a mouth on them that just won't quit about saying negative things. They may not even be encouraged themselves. They're just got their whole life bent around the axle of Murphy's Law. Everything is wrong, you know, and they're kind of like Eeyore. Okay. They've got their little empty jar, and it's got a popped red balloon in there, and they can keep all their negative thoughts and things in there, and Winnie the Pooh gets the win because they allow somebody else to discourage them. Folks, let me say something, and young people, when you're at camp, you are around. There are some really rascals there. They come unsaved, they leave unsaved, and you know about that. There are some Christians that are not walking with God, and some of them get right, some of them don't. So it's all there. But when you get back here, there are very few people that really are on fire for the Lord. You must realize that they have something that is contagious, and it will hurt you, and it will discourage you. Be not deceived, the apostle says. Evil communication corrupt good manners. Now, we have to live in this world, and we need to try to minister to people, yes. But I'll say this. If you find yourself being spiritually deflated because of being around someone or some group of people, you need to separate yourself from them until you're strong enough to minister to them and be an effect on them rather than being an effect on you. We need to can't be isolated. Of course, we can't be isolated. But we do need to separate ourselves from that which is going to discourage us. People discourage, and even Christian people will be a discouragement to others. I like what the ESV says in 1 Corinthians 15:33. Bad company ruins good morals. 1 Corinthians 5:6. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. One person in a youth group or in a church or in a board meeting or in anything else like that can mess everything else up. And they discourage other people. They are carriers. Sometimes we have to just pull away from those kind of people and not let them affect us. We must do that. I read an interesting thing about a man and wife. They got married, and after a while the man, he said, honey, I'm going to just have to quit wearing my wedding ring. And she said, you are? And she said, why? He said, well, it cuts off my circulation. And she said, honey, that's what it's supposed to do. Some of you will get it later on. Listen. Some people you may have to just pull back from and limit the circulation, limit who you are with and who you are very close to. You may need to do that, because if you don't, you will be dragged down. You will. Discouragement is contagious. And one of the things that I would encourage you with is this. While you're at camp, you are always in the encouraging mode, right? I mean, it's very natural. How you doing? Good to see you. Good to see you. But when you leave camp, you're not in that mode anymore. Stay in that mode. Be a carrier of encouragement. You're not there now, but you're here, and you're within your family. You're at your job. You're at your school, whatever it is. Be a thermostat, not a thermometer. A thermometer just sort of adjusts to whatever the atmosphere is. A thermostat says, this is what the atmosphere is going to be. I'm going to be positive. I'm going to be godly. I'm going to be upbeat. I'm going to be right. I'm going to love others. I'm going to encourage others. You need to be an encourager yourself. This is an offensive tool. Many of the other things I've given to you are defensive. You know, do this, avoid this, avoid this. But here's an offensive one. Stay in the mode of being a channel of God's blessing to people. Stay in that mode. If you don't, you will end up being discouraged again. The Christian life is not neutral. The Christian life is not something where you glide along and float along. It's not. And so say to God, oh God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto thee, O God. Let no corrupt communication come out of my mouth. And that's not just nasty words. That has to do with discouraging words. And here in the book of Deuteronomy, there were corrupting words that came out of those spies' mouths, and they cost people 40 years in the wilderness. I would encourage you, be a carrier of an encouragement. Be a carrier. I'm going to say more about that tonight. God equipped this morning. Let's bow our heads and hearts, shall we? Lord, thank you for these examples from Scripture that you give us. Thank you that we can look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and not therefore be weary in our daily responsibilities. Oh God, help us to not turn loose of the blessings that you have given to us by allowing our minds to be captured by people that are carriers of discouragement. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.